Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This past week, I was at a meeting with our regional bishop and his staff. We were meeting to hear about ministry initiatives in our synod, including the plans to open a new outdoor ministry site just outside of Denver, and ways that the synod is working to support congregational ministry and pastors around the region. Bishop Jim started out saying, "We are always a church becoming. We must be attentive to where God is calling us in a given time and place." It has always been true that being God's people has meant being attentive to God and to what God is doing in a given time and place. It was true for Abram and Sarai when God called them to leave their home and promised them descendants as numerous as the stars. It was true for Moses when God called him to return to Egypt to lead his people out of slavery. And it was true for David, who was chosen by God to be king in Israel. David had been a shepherd boy, the youngest and the most unimpressive of the sons of Jesse. The prophet Samuel was sent by God to find him there in the pasture and to anoint him king and bring him back to the capital. The shepherd boy turns out to be a fine military leader, and with God's help, he defeats the Philistines and wins a time of peace for the Israelites. One of the first things that David does as king is to bring the Ark of the Covenant, the physical sign of God's presence and favor, to his capital city of Jerusalem. And if you remember last fall in our narrative readings, we had a number of weeks where we looked at the role and power of the Ark of the Covenant. David dances before the Ark as it is carried into his city, showing his dedication and joy before God to all the people. Then King David has an idea. He will build a temple to God, a house to hold the Ark of the Covenant. David says to his prophet Nathan, "I am resting in comfort in my fine home in Jerusalem, but the Ark of God is in a tent. That doesn't seem right." The idea of a temple, a house for God, seems like a good one to both Nathan and David. It's a chance to give God honor, a safe and comfortable place for people to come and worship. Such a temple would also bring glory to David. To be the king who brings the ark from the tent where it has traveled since the people's time in the wilderness and create a beautiful house of cedar. What a way to be remembered. But God lets Nathan know that God has other plans. God says to Nathan, "Have I ever asked for a house from any of the leaders of Israel? Have I ever needed such a thing?" God tells Nathan to remind David of all that God has done for him. "I took you from the pasture to be king of Israel. I have been with you wherever you went and made enemies fall before you. I have given the people a land where they can live in peace." Then the sentence at the center of this whole story, "I, God, will make you a house, David. I will make of your family a dynasty and establish your throne forever. I will be a father to you, David, and to the kings of your line." As a father, God knows that David and his family will not follow perfectly, and God says that he will punish them when they fail. But God gives an unconditional promise that the line of David shall rule God's people. God says, "I will not take my steadfast love from David. Your house and your kingdom shall be made sure before me." David is focusing his attention on his own role as king, what he has, what he can do, what he plans. But God reminds David that his place as king is a gift and also a responsibility to follow God's lead. God refocuses David on God's plans, what God has done, what God is doing, and what God will do. Today is Reformation Sunday, when we remember the movement 500 years ago which started the Lutheran Church. For Martin Luther, the Reformation was a time of just this kind of shift in focus. When Luther focused his attention on the church, on what he needed to do to earn God's favor, and working to build bigger and better cathedrals for God, Luther found faith difficult to hold and God difficult to trust. But then Luther's focus shifted to what God has done for us in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, and what God is doing in freeing and saving us to be God's people. It made all the difference for Luther and for those who followed him, creating a movement which changed the church. It changed the very way of being church. For those of us in the Lutheran and Reformation tradition, we remember not only the changes that Luther made, but the need to be ever mindful of God's call, God's action, and always ready to reform again and again to follow God's lead. We are a church ever reforming, ever open to change and to becoming new. The story that we read today pivots on the word house. David wants to build a house for God, a structure of cedar where God's ark can dwell. But instead, God says that God will build a house for David, not a building, but a family, a dynasty to rule Israel on God's behalf in justice and peace. We are living in a time which is calling us to a similar pivot around our idea of church. So often we have centered church on a physical space, a gathering place where we come to meet God and one another face to face. At All Saints, we've worked hard to make our space inviting and comfortable for all who would come to join us in worship and learning to follow Jesus. We've created space for young children to worship, for youth to gather, for all of us to prepare and share food and fellowship. We've created space to house families in need and to share our gifts with others. Now, that sense of church is being taken from us by a pandemic and the need for all of us to shelter at home. And it is a loss. And it's okay for us to grieve and to be frustrated and to long to be back together here in our beloved place. But this Reformation Day in this crazy, always changing year invites us to pivot, to look closely at what it means to be church dispersed from our building, but still doing the work of following Jesus in this time and place. Bishop Jim has given voice again and again in the last 6 months to listen to the invitation and opportunity of this time, listening for how God may be calling us to do ministry in new ways, to reach new people, perhaps to reach people who have never and would never set foot in our building. To focus not on our space and our plans and our ideas, but on where God may be inviting and challenging us to go. To do that, we need to go deep. We need to be still and listen to the stories of how God has been faithful and how God's people have responded again and again to God's call. We need to go deep in prayer and to listen for the invitation and opportunity that God may have for us today. After God made a promise to David, the kingdom of Israel entered a golden age. It was an age of prosperity and relative peace. And eventually, David's son Solomon did build that temple to the glory of God. And then it all fell apart. The kings forgot God and turned to other gods. The kingdom was divided, and eventually both the north and south went into exile. But God's people didn't forget the promise God had made. Many trusted in God's faithfulness, even with all evidence to the contrary. They remembered the stories and they awaited the coming of a new king, a Messiah who would rule the people on God's behalf. Some of the Psalms lift up this messianic promise of God and express the people's ongoing trust that God is faithful and steadfast. Psalm 89 is one of those. It says, "I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. I declare that your steadfast love is established forever. Your faithfulness is as firm as the heavens. You have said, I have made my covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David, I will establish his descendants forever and build his throne for all generations. Let the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness in the assembly of the Holy One. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Steadfast love and faithfulness go before you." Some of us in these days may feel a little like we are the Israelites in exile. What sense does it make to trust in the promises of God given this world we live in? A world of injustice and violence, a world racked by fires and droughts, storms and floods, a world facing pandemic. But we too hear the promises of God. We too live in the unconditional promise of the Messiah, who we know has come to offer us salvation in his love and grace. We sing of the steadfast love of God and trust in God's promises from generation to generation. Our exile too will come to an end, and in the meantime, we are called to faithfulness, to deepening our prayer and listening for God's call to us in this time and in this place. We are God's church, ever held in God's promise and love, ever becoming new. Thanks be to God. Amen.